It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, Jaguars Nation, I always have a weird time kind of coming up with a name for the opposing team. Duval, I'm not really familiar with what you guys are referred to yourselves as, but we're back here for another crossover episode. Of course, the Los Angeles Rams, the Jacksonville Jaguars, getting ready to meet at SoFi Stadium here in Week 13. I'm Sosa Cremenges, your host of the Locked On Rams podcast, joined by my man, Tony Wiggins, host of the Locked On Jags podcast. And Tony, right now we're kind of on opposite ends of the spectrum, but maybe a little bit closer than we were a few weeks ago. And, you know, the Rams right now, I don't even know where they stand right now. I mean, a few weeks ago, we're talking about one of the best teams in the NFL. You heard me on my podcast saying, you know, this team's filled with maybe an MVP and all these other things. And the Jaguars, of course, you know, kind of vying for draft status right now. But before we dive into that in just a second here, Stat Hero is the first of its kind in the daily fantasy sports platform where it's you versus the house in head-to-head fantasy matchups. Winner takes all. You can sign up for free right now at stathero.com/lockedon and use the promo code locked on for a 100% deposit match. You're not going to get that anywhere else. So, Tony, let's dive into it now. I got to learn more about the Jaguars. I'm going to be honest. I don't watch many Jaguars games. I don't think there's much, you know, of an incentive for people that aren't Jaguars fans to be watching right now. Of course, the big ticket item right here, quarterback Trevor Lawrence. How's his rookie season gone? What does the future really look like? Is it promising for this guy, especially for, you know, a new head coach in Urban Meyer going into next season as well?
Yeah, Trevor's fine, man. You know, he's a typical rookie. It's almost like a lot of these rookies have had a lot of success now. And it's kind of spoiled the viewer. But if you really pay attention to rookies from the past, you know, you see this gray in my beard. I'm a little bit older. So I'm accustomed to guys struggling when they come into the league because it's just, you know, for a while, they had changed the offenses to a lot of this RPO college stuff. Coaches did that on purpose. They went to college to try to find out how they can make these guys more successful early because guys were getting fired, man. Coaches were getting fired because it wasn't happening fast enough and quick enough. But now NFL people have caught on to that too. And when you go to a 1-15 team, you're supposed to struggle. I think a lot of times we sit and think he's the golden child. He's this, he's that. He's the most this and the most that. Football is about more than just one person. It's not like basketball where one guy sort of changes the entire complexion of a team in a short period of time. Football doesn't work like that. It doesn't allow you to get away with that. So he's fine. You can see his talent. Lately, he's been struggling because he's trying to do too much, playing hero ball, does not have a lot of weapons. But you said you didn't watch a lot of Jaguars football. You didn't know what to expect. You would think that a team that's won three games in about a year and three quarters of the way through isn't entertaining. It is, you know, because it's like if you go to a bar 2 o'clock in the morning and you watch two real drunk guys and they say, let's go outside and we're going to have a foot race. That's the most entertaining thing in the world because you know somebody's going to fall and crack their skull, right? So that's pretty much what it's entertaining, but it's entertaining for the wrong reason.
Yeah, and you know what? I've had personal experience with that on this podcast, actually. My friends remember my face beating up a little bit. And like you mentioned, I think we're all kind of spoiled now with, you know, how quickly rookies develop. And it's not the same going to a one-win team or a zero-win team like it is for Mac Jones, for example. They're not in the same situation, so it's really hard to compare those guys. Moving to the other side of the ball, though, I think the defense is one of the more interesting pieces here for this team. I know, you know, I look at certain guys like Josh Allen. I'm thinking back to that Buffalo game where, you know, he kind of blows up and he's the good Josh Allen in that game. Right. Kind of curious on what some of these pieces on the defensive side of the ball are. Is this secondary playing better? I feel like, you know, I've read some of the news and some of the media recently talking about guys like Tyson Campbell even stepping up in recent weeks.
He has. And the criticism of him was that he had no ball skills. All you had to do is throw a jump ball and you were going to catch it. And that was a knock on him in college, too. And he's played really well as of the last 2 weeks because he's finally figured out what Joe Cullen, who came from Baltimore, wants him to do. He wants him to play like Marlon Humphrey and keep everything in front of him, find the ball, and use his athleticism. He's a long, rangy corner, sort of like the one we had who left and came out to your neck of the woods in Jalen Ramsey. He's not that. He has that size, though, but he's not that. Jalen's a freak, so – they have some pieces that are playing well. They've done a pretty good job. As of late, they started to feel themselves a little bit, and they're playing with their emotions and their bravado, and it's cost them in two games. where they couldn't get off the field on third down because of personal fouls. One guy smacked a guy right in front of the referee, and it was fourth down, and it was an automatic first down for the other team. They have had a propensity to do dumb stuff because now they're playing with their emotions. They're playing with a lot of swag. But when that happens, you're always going to be penalized. But you can't have the penalties that allow your team to not get the possession change or that switches the momentum. You can't have them and have them at the worst, having the dumbest penalties at the worst times, and it's cost them.
Yeah, that feels like the mark of a young team that's still kind of learning and getting ready to be professionals. I feel like you've probably talked about this a million times in your podcast. I hate to bring it up, but I got to know. Urban Meyer, this whole season's been just a whirlwind. I mean, I can't even imagine what it's been like for you to have to cover it from, you know, is this going to be the guy next year? Is this, you know, is this the guy that's going to bring this franchise back to the days of, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew, Fred Taylor, all these great players, David Garrard? You think about this guy from an outside perspective, it looks kind of weird. I don't really know if they're, you know, smart to kind of stay with this guy, if they should start looking elsewhere. Of course, it's a different kind of story for the owner whose pockets are talking, not mine. When you look at this guy, how's his first season gone? Is there expectations for, you know, maybe not that the seat's hot, but is the clock kind of, you know, ticking here? And ultimately, do you think this is the guy that can lead this team back?
I don't. And I did. And I don't. He's done enough stuff now that has totally made me change my mind, because we're all trying to figure out around here what is the one thing that is the staple that he does well. What's the one thing you got? It ain't play calling. It's not personnel. We thought it was. Even though he's known for being a good evaluator of talent from high school to college, he ain't done that very well here. And the implementation of how you run a training camp and who can play, they have this overemphasis on speed as opposed to having an emphasis on good. And they've had three fast wide receivers that they pretty much run through here like a car wash in the last 4 or 5 weeks, and they're all gone. It's because they didn't get any speed in the offseason, and the guys they can't run. So what you have is Cooper Kupp, who runs a 4.5, they wouldn't look at him if he were coming out of college. Robert Woods, who was a 4.5 guy, nope, wouldn't look at him. They look at Tutu Atwell, though, because he can run. And that's the and see, it's stuff like that. And I'm using your guys as an example. Mm-hmm. It's the problem. But when you look around the league at DeAndre Hopkins, at Devontae Adams, at Mike Williams, at the kid in Tampa, the tall kid in Tampa,
Chris Godwin, Mike Evans,
Mike Evans, there's a bunch of 4 or 5 guys now. Everybody ain't gonna be Tyreek, you know. Mm-hmm. So for them, they probably get like Isaiah McKenzie and think that they hit a home run. Because he had all those little tiny dudes running around. It sounded like when he was at Florida, sort of like Chip Kelly when he was at Oregon. You got speed, but then you got good football players too. And they don't get that. And they're really, really missing out. I think him and Trent Baalke, if Urban is around, which I think he will be, because Shad Khan, the owner, is very, very patient. I mean, he kept Gus Bradley for 4 years. If he's still around, they're going to have to make some changes and probably get another GM. And somebody to really tell him, dude, no, you gotta get good football players, and if you get good football players, then they'll find their way to get open.
Yeah, if anyone knows what it's like to be a good football player, if any fandom knows, it's the Rams fans. I mean, the Rams don't really have any of those 4.2, 4.3 speed kind of guys. Everyone's just a good football player. You know, route running is a craft in its own right. So in just a second here, we're going to flip the tables. Tony's going to put me in the spotlight, ask me some questions about the Los Angeles Rams. Before we get there, I wanted to quickly thank you guys so much for always making us your first daily listen at Locked On Rams, Locked On Jaguars. And of course, we're a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Now, no one plays daily fantasy sports to lose. Let's call it what it is. Winning feels way better. But traditional fantasy sports are a long-term losing proposition because you never know who you're going up against or what team you're going up against. They don't really show you that kind of stuff. So StatHero, a little bit different. They're the first of its kind in the daily fantasy sports platform where it's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup with the winner taking all. And the crazy part is, of course, it's got to be different. StatHero shows you their lineups before you play, and you can handpick the team that you want to face one-on-one. So you can actually pick your opponent. It's very different compared to all these other platforms. Why? Because you don't have to go compete against thousands of other experts or unknown lineups. StatHero puts you in control of your own fate, which is pretty crazy to say. With StatHero, you're in control of the stakes. You decide how much you're going to play for, and StatHero has no choice but to take it because they're daring you to beat them. So it's a pretty cool deal, in my opinion. Stat Hero head-to-head is what daily fantasy should be, one-on-one. You can sign up for free right now at stathero.com/lockedon and use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 100% deposit match. That's stathero.com/lockedon and use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 100% match. Terms and conditions apply. Now we'll continue along with this crossover here. Tony, I'm going to hand it off to you. You can put me under the spotlight here. Of course, the Rams sitting at 7-4. I'll kind of set you up here. Very weird. Last 3 weeks, I can't even know what to make of this team anymore. I went from, yeah, they're probably going to win the Super Bowl to, oh my goodness, this team looks like the dream team Eagles. And, you know, we've kind of been on both ends of the spectrum here. So I'll hand it off to you. It's a little weird.
Yeah, it is a little weird. I tell you what, I'm going to give you a little bit of a break because just yesterday on the Locked On NFL show, James Rapine jumped all over me because I was touting the Rams so much. And we looked at the power rankings, you know, the NFL power rankings that I vote every week, and we use them on our show on Tuesday. The Rams have played like most of the teams that are ranked from 1 to 13. They've played damn near everybody from the Titans to the Buccaneers to the three teams in their division, you know, that two of those teams are ranked very, very high. And I'm sitting, they played the Packers, and I'm sitting there like, hold on, let's pump our brakes. Now, they did beat the Bucs, but against those other big teams, that's where their four losses have come from. It ain't like they got a loss against Buffalo. Right. Because Buffalo's good too. They ain't got a loss against the Jaguars like the Bills do. Mm-hmm. They don't have a loss like Dallas does, where they lost at home to the Broncos. Right. The Rams' losses have come to teams that are going to be challenging in the second round of the division in the playoffs. So they have to learn how to be able to beat good teams. So they've had a bad loss, but the thing that bewilders me about them is they don't seem like they got no sand in their pocket. And what I mean is they don't have no hind parts, man. It's like if somebody really wants to just come out and punch them in the mouth, they're able to do it. Jalen Ramsey, he's not guarding the best receiver, and Raheem Morris is getting a lot of criticism. So you tell me from your mouth, what is going on with them? Are they absolutely soft? Do they miss Michael Brockers? Why are they not playing well?
Yeah, like you put it, a lot of people have come out and called them soft lately. And I think, you know, it's maybe not fair. I don't know if it's 100% true, but I think it is fair to say right now. I mean, the teams that have beat them, you look at the Tennessee Titans, the San Francisco 49ers, now the Green Bay Packers, they beat them in similar ways. Like, we're going to run the football at you. We're going to stop the run. We're going to beat you up on your O-line with our D-line. Our pass rushers are going to get to your quarterback. And the Rams have imploded. I mean, it's not been like, you know, close losses, last second field goals here. We're talking about two games where they look just horrendous against the Titans and the 49ers back to back on primetime, of course, for the world to see. And then you come back to last week against the Packers. And this is a team that, let's be honest here, the Rams, they're built to try and go to a Super Bowl. They're not trying to, you know, get to the first round of the playoffs. They did that last year. They didn't have to trade all these picks for Matthew Stafford to go get knocked out in the playoffs again. This team is built to go get a Super Bowl. So when you lose to teams like the Packers, that's concerning, right? Because this is a team you're probably gonna have to go through if you want to get to the Super Bowl. So, you know, on one side of it, I see the argument that, yeah, they are soft. They need to be better against the run. They need to be way better running the football. I mean, they've been god-awful running the football. Can't move guys off the line of scrimmage. I don't really know how that's going to get fixed. But at the end of the day, I still think they have all the talent in the building that they need. They just need to find a way, you know, to gel and really to get that momentum back. I feel like ever since that fourth quarter against the Houston Texans a few weeks ago, I want to say 4 or 5 weeks ago, the Rams benched everyone. They were up like 38-0 or something. Benched everyone, and the Texans go on and score 22 straight points, nearly make it a game. And ever since then, it's been just a terrible skid. So right now, really talented, but they're not showing it. But I think they're, you know, trending towards the right direction. You look at the Packers game, actually look like a team. Of course, they didn't do well enough to win, but it's a good team that they lost to. And I think they're starting to trend in that right direction. And right now, this week, I mean, it's a good one to really try and really get back on track here.
I have a theory, and I want to find out. It seems like ever since the Super Bowl, when I don't know if you saw when the footage when Belichick is like 5-6 minutes to go, and he went to talk to his defense, and he goes, "They got nothing. Just do your job. They have nothing. There's nothing they can do if you do what you're supposed to do." So for a coach to say that, he's not just psyching his team out. He absolutely knows, because of their tendencies and because of film study and because of the matchup. It's like when you watch boxing and you see, oh, he can't do nothing with him. It's like, it seems like every single game they lose, I hear Belichick in my ear. It's almost as if everyone watched that tape And that's how you play against Sean McVay. Because is that true? Do you get that feeling? Because every single game they seem to lose, they lose it the same way.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I mean, at the end of the day here, we're looking at a team for in September, the Rams are right now, you know, through Sean McVay's tenure since 2017, the second best by all metrics, EPA per play, all these different things. Like, they look unstoppable on offense. But when it comes to the second half of the season, every single year, they start to get figured out. And at this point, it's not just a personnel thing. Every year, your team is changing. Like, this has happened 5 years in a row now. It's a schematic thing. And a lot of people that are way smarter than I am when it comes to X's and O's are saying, this offense gets stale. You're like, they're running a very similar package in terms of plays, and they do it over and over again. And yeah, you still can have guys running around wide open and things like that, but the execution is bad right now, and every single season it's happened to the point where now it's a trend. Like, it really feels that way, and it feels like defenses have found a way to really minimize it. And you even look back to the first half of the schedule, as much as I loved it, I mean, Matthew Stafford was throwing a Cooper Kupp 15 times a game. Like, is that really sustainable throughout the whole course of the season? You need to find different ways to be productive and not turn the ball over. Like, this guy's thrown 3 pick sixes in the back-to-back-to-back games. Like, this is crazy. I've never seen that before. So they need to be better on execution. They need to be better schematically. And I'm not really sure where it begins or how they're going to get back on track. But this team has way too big aspirations to be putting out tape like they did in the last few weeks.
Two things. I know when things can go wrong. I know how Jalen can be. I know him pretty well, actually. Any dissension, any frustration yet? And the other thing is, when are you guys ever going to pick in the first round? I think I don't even have I got one grandchild. I'll have 6 grandchildren, and they might have children the next time you guys pick in the first round.
Yeah, so Ramsey right now, I think, you know, coming from this perspective, literally been a dream. I mean, you talk about a player. I mean, we all know how great of a player this guy is. There's no discussion about that. He's the best corner in football. He's a special talent, can do everything you need and then some. But I think the thing that really sets him apart, even from the team that he has right now around him, you see that passion for the game. I mean, this guy really wants to win football games, and you see it on the sidelines. You see when someone gives up a third down, like, at one point, you know, some people, if the team is losing, it might be thought of as, you know, this guy's overreacting, this kind of thing. He's a cancer, as people will say. But I think it's been literally a dream. I mean, he's recruiting players. You hear the story about, you know, he's calling Odell Beckham on FaceTime. He's barging into the receiver room while they're having a meeting, and he's putting them on the phone with Odell. And Odell's like, you know, confused about whether he wants to go to the Rams, whether he doesn't. He doesn't want to step on their toes, as he said, about the receivers. And Odell asked these guys on FaceTime, you know, are you guys okay with him coming? They said okay, and that's how he decided to come. So he's recruiting players. He's done everything he's needed to do, and then some. The guy is truly special. And I think his will to win is really helping drag this team through what it's going through right now. Like, you need guys that are high character that can get you out of the slump, and he's one of those guys. In terms of the first round pick, I don't know when it's coming. It's going to be a long time. This is the first team since Washington, I think it was back in the 70s, didn't pick for 10 years straight in the first round. The Rams are going to be on 8 years straight, you know, unless they trade someone and get a first round pick somehow, since they did it. I mean, 2016 to 2024, I think it is, which is crazy. I mean, at this point, I don't even have a reason to watch the draft. It's so boring for me. Every, you know, weekend or every year, everyone's going crazy about these prospects. I don't even have anything to watch for. So It's a little disappointing, you know, but at the same time, this is kind of how they want to build their team, and I can't really knock them for it. They've been productive. They just need to find a way to get to that Super Bowl, because at the end of the day, winning games is great. You know, winning 10, 11, 12 games, it's awesome. But if you don't get that Super Bowl, you don't get that Lombardi Trophy, it's really all for naught. So
ready to make some predictions?
Yeah, let's do it. In this last segment, we're going to dive into what we think about these predictions, maybe some matchups to watch, things like that. But before we get there, thank you guys so much for always making us your first daily listen here at Locked On Rams, Locked On Jaguars. If you guys want to get in on some betting action, you guys know I like to do it on my podcast. Probably not that smart of me, because the Rams are in a bad skid. You can go check out betonline.ag. They have you covered for all season, more props, odds, and lines than ever before. As the football season continues to march towards the playoffs, BetOnline remains your number one spot for all these sports action this season. So go ahead to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. All you have to do is just use the promo code Locked On to receive your bonus, from basketball to football, NHL, boxing, UFC, even right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Make sure to take advantage right now of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 sports season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. If you need some help in terms of which lines to take, parlays, all that good stuff, go check out Locked On Bets, man. They're a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. They are your daily one-stop shop For all your gambling needs, Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. Now, Tone, let's get into it here. It's the prediction time. Everyone always wants to know what's going to happen. Like, as if, you know, I got a crystal ball here and I can tell them. I've been wrong more often than not probably this season, to be quite honest with you. So I look at the Rams right now and they're desperate. I mean, you talk about backs against the wall. I don't know that I've ever really seen the Rams in this situation under Sean McVay. You know, the expectations are grand, like Super Bowl or bust at this point. In my opinion, it's like NFC Championship game or bust. Yeah, anything can happen in those games, but you need to get right now. And the Rams are 2.5 games back from the Arizona Cardinals in the NFC West. I mean, can almost chalk that one up as an L, which means the Rams are not going to be a top four seed. I can tell you personally, they do not want to do that. If they got the first seed, the whole playoffs go through SoFi Stadium, right? The Super Bowl is being played in SoFi. That would be an advantage like no one's ever really seen. I look at the Rams right now. They're desperate. I can't see them not having this sense of urgency. Of course, they're a little bit more talented as well than the Jaguars are. They're at home, which is good for them as well. I'm going to have to pick the Rams in this one. I think they're going to get back on track. I still don't trust them fully to really have, you know, the cleanest game or the best game. So I do think the Jags are going to find a way to at least be a little bit productive as well. In terms of a score prediction, I might go with something like, you know, 31-17, which is going to be close enough to be a game. But I still think the Rams are just a little bit too talented and way too desperate right now to give those Jaguars their third win. But I'm going to hand it over to you.
The Jaguars have not protected Trevor Lawrence well, especially from the right side. So if Leonard Floyd ever wants to have a breakout game when he lines up in front of Juwan Taylor, he's going to be able to do it. The Jaguars' best chance to win is James Robinson. It's to try to do to them what everyone else has done, and that's run the football. And they can block. They can run block. They can definitely, from all of those guys, all five of them are really good at moving people out of the way. They don't have a lot of speed at receiver. If it gets into a track meet, they're going to lose. Good news for Rams fans is, well, bad news. Here's good news, bad news. Bad news, good news for Jaguar fans is, when they played the best opponents, the team has played the best. The best team they played this year is Buffalo. They beat them. Next best team they played was Tennessee. They were in the game. Well, no, they played Arizona, and they were leading at halftime. So they played those three teams, and they've been tough. So whenever they have a situation like this, you can count on them to put their best foot forward. They went out west to play Seattle and played probably the worst football game I've ever seen. And I'm hoping that they travel better this time. The good news for the Rams is that whenever you're a sick football team, you need an antibiotic. The Jaguars have been everyone who's been sick. They've been the elixir that actually got them well. So if you look up football antibiotic in the dictionary, there's a picture of the Jaguars logo right there. So I don't think they're going to beat them. I think the West Coast traveling and eventually just the top line talent. We've talked about the GOAT. I think he's the best corner in the league. I think the best defensive lineman I've probably ever seen is Aaron Donald. They just have too much speed and too many ways that they can make plays and score points. And then the other thing that they do, the 49ers, much like San Francisco, they're a rhythmic offense. Teams that get in rhythm like that and can extend drives with short passes, the Jaguars struggle with them. The 49ers, let me tell you this, the 49ers played the Jaguars. So on the first drive, I'm going to give you the stats. It was a 21 play, 87 yard drive after the opening kickoff that took 13 minutes and 5 seconds off the clock.
That's a lot. That's a whole lot.
And then I checked this out. They only got three, but then they kicked off and the Jaguars went three and out. And they got the ball back and ran like another 7 minutes off the clock. The Jaguars got the ball back again and turned it over. They were huffing and puffing, man. It was unreal. They had only run 18 plays midway through the third quarter. Can't get off the field.
Yeah.
Can't get off the field. So I'm going to say LA 37, Jaguars 10.
Yeah, I think you gave Rams fans a little bit of PTSD right there because it's been the exact same problem with their defense, man. Same thing. I mean, it's been so frustrating. You see them get into 3rd and 8, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 6, whatever the case is, and they just continue to convert. Last week, the Packers had a 15-play drive. I think it was the first drive of the game, actually. Longest drive of the season that didn't go for points. I don't know how you don't score in 15 plays. It's absurd, but The Rams have had the very same issue on the defensive side of the ball. I think the one area that they're going to really find a way to step up in this one is to pressure Trevor Lawrence, right? You talk about Aaron Donald. Of course, this guy is probably the best player I've ever seen in my lifetime too. And Von Miller, who really came to life last week. He looks like he's developing now. He's getting comfortable in that defense. Leonard Floyd, of course, another good player as well. Just feel like these guys have to kind of put the onus on them. The secondary is not as good as it was last year. The second level of the defensive linebackers, specifically number 51, Troy Reader, he's just not good. I mean, he's not a starting quality player, and they need to win with a four-man rush. Like, this is why you traded all these picks, why you paid Leonard Floyd $16 million a year, why Aaron Donald is, you know, highly drafted and paid record-breaking money. They need to start winning, and I feel like they're really going to take out that wrath kind of on Trevor Lawrence this week, which is a little unfortunate because that guy has been getting hit a lot. I watch, you know, every now and again, I got the game on in the back. I don't exactly focus, and I just see him running for dear life. Feels like every play. I don't know how he survived. You know, kudos to him for being tough. That kid's, I think he's going to be a good one. But, yeah, I think the Rams are going to win this game. It should be a good one, though. Hopefully everyone can stay healthy and get out of it alive. Tony, is there any last parting thoughts, my friend?
No, man, you know, we just thank everybody for making us their first listen every single day. And make sure they check out the Locked On Bets podcast, obviously, with your boy Q and Lee Sterling, as you said, to get all the information you need before you make your bets on Bet Online. Just tell everybody to take care of each other, man, over here from the East Coast to down south to the West Coast. It's all love from Locked On Jaguars, and this is fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll extend that all the way up to north in Canada where I'm at. So thank you guys so much for listening. Of course, Locked On Rams, Locked On Jaguars. Make sure to keep tuning back in throughout the rest of this week. I usually do a mailbag on Friday. I'm not sure what Tony has planned, but I'm sure it's going to be good for you guys as well. And then into next week when we start to recap these games. Hopefully, you know, both fan bases have something eager and good to listen to. Thank you guys so much for another crossover episode. Enjoy this game, and we'll see you in the next one.